Man in Line.
This is the Man in Line on location.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. We're live at King William's College today with the students in Year 12 to see what they have to say about the world. We're talking to Cleo and June and Eris and Milia and Sophia, Emilia and Charlie and Niv as well to hear what they have to say. So in the next hour, well, it could be about the Isle of Man, it could be about the international scene. You never know what subjects are going to come up between now and one on Man in Line live from King William's College. Right, we'll pop round and meet everybody first. This is Cleo. Hi, Cleo.
Hi.
Whereabouts are you from?
I'm originally from Canada.
Right, okay. And next is June. Hi, June.
Hi.
Where are you from?
I was born in Hong Kong, but I now live here.
Okay. Eris, whereabouts are you from?
I was born in London, but I've been on the Isle of Man since I was two.
Okay. Milia?
I'm born in Germany.
Okay. And Sophia?
Hi, I was born in Montenegro.
Okay. And Emilian?
I was born in Germany.
Okay. Charlie?
I was born in England.
Okay. And Niv?
I was born on the Isle of Man.
Okay. Niv, Donald Trump, we heard in the news what's going to happen. He's been criticizing Britain over the Chagos Islands. Do you think Donald Trump is serious about Greenland?
I think what we've seen so far is that he does what he says he does, whether that's striking the nuclear sites in Iran or if that's capturing President Nicolas Maduro. I think it sets a scary precedent for other global nations across the world, especially when Greenland is such a rich resource country. And as we've seen in Venezuela, Trump does love oil, and so does every leader, I presume.
It seems weird. He's only been there a year. He's only been in office a year. Everything seems to have happened in the past year, doesn't it? He doesn't stand still, does he?
No, I think definitely in the last decade, President Donald Trump is one of the presidents that we've seen that is a strong leader. Whether you hate him or you love him, he is a strong leader and he does what he says he does.
Okay. Charlie, what's your opinion on Donald Trump?
I think, though Neve says that he does what he says that he's going to do, I think in Greenland it would change the world if he invaded Greenland, because it's completely disregarding his ties to NATO, and it would say to Russia and China, it's acceptable to expand if you want resources. And I think the extremity of it means that it's more unlikely to happen than his invasion of Venezuela was.
All right. Emilian, Donald Trump.
Well, as Neve said, he's a strong leader and he does what he says. However, like, for example, with the tariffs a few weeks ago, he pulled them back after China threatened him with the resources, like taking away rare resources from that they import into the US. So, like, even Trump does what he says, he still does not like fully do. He's still like, if he's threatened, he still pulls back from it.
Right. Okay. Are you planning to go to university when you leave college?
Yes.
Well, do you know which university you'll be at?
No. I haven't applied to any yet. I'm looking forward to go to like a university in Germany. It's quite complicated. Like, it's different. Like, because I'm looking, I want to study law at university, so it's different here than in Germany. Like, in Germany, we have the first state exam. I don't know how it's called here, but here you have the master and the bachelor, so it's different. It's hard to apply in a German law firm with the bachelor or master that you did in the UK. So.
And what do you see as a career?
As a career? Oh, that's a good question.
A high-paid lawyer.
Yeah, of course, a high-paid lawyer, and maybe go into finance or something. Like, I think with the with studying law, you have great opportunities, can do lots of things.
What's the economy like in Germany at the moment?
Well, it's threatened by the US, by the new tariffs that are going to start on the 1st of February if Trump does as he says. With all the war, like big firms like Rheinmetall, they all like made lots of profits from it. It really depends on what part of the economy you look at.
Yeah. And do you know much about the ARD?
Yes, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it's a populist party, isn't it? Is it as popular?
You mean the AFD?
The AFD,
oh, sorry.
Sorry,
the AFD, yes. Well, it's become very popular in the last few years because of their views on immigration and other things. It's a very big threat. I don't think it should be as big as it is right now in Germany. There's like... You know, the Christopher Streets Day in Germany during June, there's like all the time there's like anti-demos from like almost Nazi demos. I've watched a few videos about that. It's very sad. They have like the Reich flag and all flags that they hold up, and they all support the AfD. And if you see who supports the AfD, it's like that should not be allowed in Germany. Yeah.
Are you confident about the future for Germany?
Well, in my opinion, Merz is a strong leader right now. He is, I think, one of the only leaders who is kind of opposing Trump. For the future of Germany, it really depends on the next few weeks or months what happens with Trump. If he attacks Greenland, if he doesn't attack Greenland, it really depends on these things, yeah.
Okay, let's go to Cleo over here. Cleo, are you on social media?
I am on social media.
And which social media are you on?
I would say I'm on TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much the works.
Okay, and do you post or do you just look at them?
Yeah, I make posts.
Do you? How much time do you spend on social media?
Probably too much, to be honest. I would say probably 2 or 3 hours a day, which is quite high.
That's 15 hours a week?
Yeah.
That you spend on social media. Do you watch television?
Not as much as I would say other people do, just because I am usually occupied with my work or I'm on my phone.
Oh, there is schoolwork to do, of course.
Yes, of course, there
Lots
is.
Lots of schoolwork to do. June, are you on social media?
Yes, I am on social media.
Are you on everything?
I'm on mostly TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat. They're my three main ones.
Okay. Who's the most famous person you follow?
Probably most famous person I follow, probably Ronaldo.
Australia has banned under 16-year-olds on social media. Think that's a good idea?
I think it has its benefits and its negatives, because I think social media could be something that it should, in theory, be a really good thing. I think it's just the way it's been used and the things people put on it. It's why it's been twisted and not twisted, but made into something quite negative that can be quite dangerous for especially young people who maybe don't have the experience or the maturity to be able to scan through information that they'll get from social media.
What responsibility do parents bear in this then?
I think they do have a big responsibility to make sure that their kids aren't being negatively influenced by social media. However, I think it is really difficult to monitor what your children are seeing on social media. Yeah.
Eris, are you on social media?
I am on social media.
Okay, and everything again? Snapchat, Instagram?
I am on Snapchat and Instagram.
Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook.
You must be the youngest person on Facebook.
Well, I actually do horse riding, so all of my horse community is on Facebook.
Okay. And what do you think about social media? You think it's a force for good?
I actually recently just deleted TikTok because it was getting too distracting for me. Before I do my work, I'd sit on like half an hour and the procrastination was just getting out of hand. So I do think it is quite negative and ruins your attention span.
What about younger children then? The fact that they've banned it for under 16s in Australia, do you think that should happen on the Isle of Man or in Britain? Did you use social media when you were under 16?
I did. I got my first phone when I first came to high school, so I probably had social media since then. I've got a 15-year-old brother, and I don't think social media should be taken away from them, but I do think restrictions would be good.
But who monitors your 15-year-old brother on social media?
No one really, but my parents do have rules like you must have a private account, don't go posting our whole lives on social media. Just keep it to yourself, don't put details out there. They are concerned, but...
Do you think in years to come we'll look back and wonder why everybody put everything on social media?
Yeah, I do have... People that share their whole lives on social media, I don't understand that. I don't understand where it's like showing your house tours, showing your keys and passport, showing your lives and your children. That's just... People that show their young children, I don't understand.
Are there photos of you on a horse on the social media?
No, I'm very picky with what photos my mum will put out on Facebook.
Millie is next as well. And from Germany, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of the AfD?
I think we're handling them not harshly enough, because we obviously have our different systems of law that kind of can tell you when is a party becoming too extremist. And if our Verfassungsschutz is basically an institution that makes sure that we all like stick to the constitution and saying this party is dangerous, this party is right-wing extremist, and we should ban it, then it should not be acceptable by almost 25% of society that this party is still running for parliament, probably going to win the next elections by polls right now. We have around midterm polls right now. Probably going to win the next election. And I feel like we as a country are failing if, even though we get taught our history, we still see all those warning signs. We have the institutions that are protecting us from it, and we're just choosing to ignore it. And we're letting these parties also fiddle their way around it, because some parts of the party got banned. They just reopened under a new name and it was fine. So I feel like we should be a lot harsher with them than we are right now.
Is it supported by young people or old people, or does it go across the generations?
It's a mix. So we have obviously that fact that a lot of young people now are maybe a bit more conservative than a young person would have been 10 or 15 years ago. I think that's just the way the world is right now. But I see a lot of middle-aged people especially, and older people voting for that party, because they kind of see problems that are new, like immigration, that they were not used to from their childhood, and they're scared of it, and that's why they want a quick solution, because they kind of can't accept the change instead of embracing it, maybe as younger people would sometimes do. So I feel like they're targeting more middle-aged people and older people.
Germany is a huge economy, and obviously is pivotal in Europe. So lots of people will be looking to Germany politically as well as financially for what's going to happen in the future. I mean, would you go back to Germany and work?
I'm not planning on it right now, just because the career path I'm choosing, I really want to go into marine biology. There's just not as many opportunities in a country that's mostly landlocked like Germany. But I think going back to Germany to work in the economy is really, really important. And that's why I don't understand the policies we're having right now, where we're pushing away immigrants, making it harder for immigrants to work in Germany. It's quite difficult to get a job as an immigrant, because I don't understand how we can, as a strong economy, not see that these people would further economy so much more, especially as it is, even though it's strong, weakening right now.
Marine biology, where does that come from?
Just an interest in the sea since I was small, and I'm just a bit of a nerd, one could say.
Well, that's going to take you all over the world.
That's going to take me all over the world. I love to travel, so just that opportunity of being at sea and kind of having also a kind of scientific field where not as much research is being done as I think should be done, because we don't know as much about the ocean as we should. It just interests me hugely.
We'll come back to the ocean shortly. Emilian, you wanted to say something.
Yes, as Mila mentioned, it's like because of immigration and everything with the AfD, but I don't think it's like the normal immigrants, like we really need them, like from Turkey and other places. It's more the illegal immigrants, and like Mertz said, the Stadtbild, like the image of the city, like the people there, it's like you don't, like if I would be like a 20-year-old woman, I would not want to go into like subway, into like the train station or anywhere near there after like 7 o'clock. I would not want to go there.
Which
because
again, people,
of these immigrant
people from outside find that remarkable that that's happening in Germany. I mean, they find that, you know, if young girls aren't safe on the street in Germany.
That's why all these like parents, like middle age, that's why they start supporting parties like the AfD, because they give them an option against that. And that's what they need. And that's like they don't really make themselves an opinion. They just look at that one point, immigration, and they totally agree with that. And they just vote the AfD.
OK. Sophia, Montenegro, is that right?
Montenegro.
In the Balkans?
Balkans, yeah.
So what are you hoping for university yourself?
No, I wouldn't stay in the Balkans.
No, but I mean, will you go to university when you leave college? What will you study?
Well, currently I'm still undecided. I came in here thinking engineering, but it's now looking more like maths and applied maths. And then I'll see if I expand from there and go back to engineering, like initially planned.
How long have you been on the Isle of Man?
I moved here in September.
September last year. What do you think of our weather?
It's quite different from Montenegro. It's very windy. But what I noticed is when I go, when I went back to Montenegro for half-term break, is the air and just like the pollution here is practically non-existent because of the wind, because it filters it out. And in Montenegro, it was quite, it wasn't as fresh as I remembered.
Oh, we have lots of fresh air. Lots of fresh air. Are you on social media?
Oh, yeah.
So what's the big social media in Montenegro? What's everybody on? TikTok, Instagram?
Yeah, I would say so. Instagram, TikTok.
And do you post or do you just look at it?
I mostly just look at it. I don't post much.
Okay. And as far as the... do you know much about the politics of Montenegro?
Yeah.
What are the politics of Montenegro?
Well, the main divide of Montenegro is just the fact that some people are pro-Western while the others are pro-Serbian, or, well, that means pro-Russian. But the majority of the people are pro-Western and do want us to join the EU. So, yeah, we have actually gotten rid of the government, which had been in place for a very long time, in 2020. Right now, like, the main goal of our country is just to join the EU in the next 10 years.
And what's the economy like in Montenegro?
Well, our economy is mostly reliant on the tourism of the country, so most of it comes from the summer season.
Okay. We're live at King William's College with the students finding out, well, exactly what they think, and we'll be back in just a few moments' time.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Scrap metal coming out of your ears. Then there's only one place to call, Castaignes Scrap Metal, of course. Castaignes pay top prices for lead, brass, copper, aluminium and stainless steel, as well as ferrous metals, scrap vehicles, and they're even licensed to scrap lead acid batteries. Drop it off today or Castaignes can come and take it away. Castaignes Scrap Metal, Foxtel Road, call 801-337.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Tricky situations can be solved better in a relaxed space with fresh eyes.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Imagine arriving at your favourite beach or beauty spot. It's early morning and it's just you. Ready to feel good.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
This is the Man in Line on location.
It's 25 past 12, live in Castletown today. Niamh, you wanted to talk about social media.
Yeah, so just expanding on what the girl said previously.
I think social media nowadays is more of a political tool. Social media algorithms lead to a political divide because you're often shared with agreements that you, or videos that you agree with, while often ignoring alternate views. So you may see far left content, you may see far right content, and that leads to political polarization.
Right. Well, that's because you basically get into a loop, an algorithmic loop. The algorithms will guide to you what you're watching, and so you'll just hear more and more and more of what you want to watch. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that's a bad thing. You're in an echo chamber, Yeah. And that leads to extreme political views, which are very dangerous, especially in Western society.
Well, it used to be that people read newspapers. That not many. Do you read a newspaper? A physical newspaper?
No, I don't.
When was the last time you ever read a physical newspaper?
Probably 3 years ago.
Yeah. A magazine? Do you buy magazines?
No.
So where do you get your news from?
I listen to The Economist, The Wall Street Journal, and then I'm also on Twitter and Instagram as well, but I don't try not to go on Instagram or TikTok as much because that's when you fall into those algorithmic repetitions. Yeah.
Charlie?
Hello.
You wanted to talk about social media.
Oh, yeah. About the ban in Australia. You asked if it was a good idea to ban social media on the Isle of Man.
And for under-16s?
For under-16-year-olds, yes. There's a program at King William's College, the exchange program, and my friend Zach from South Africa, his school has just banned phones for under-16s, like the Australian whole government has done. And what he says about it is that it's a terrible idea, really, because all of the children are crafty and find ways around this ban. And I also think it's a big burden on the executive branch of government to have them enforcing no social media, because they can't really do anything about it if children find ways around it. So it just means people turn to what is crime. Yeah.
So do they not allow the phones in the schools at Zach's place?
Yeah, it's an all boarding school.
Right.
So the children aren't even allowed to bring phones. And what everyone does is they just break the rules. And I think that's a problem with banning something that is as commonly used and accepted as social media.
How much do you use your smartphone?
My phone? I don't know, probably
When that report comes every week, your screen time is?
About 3 or 4 hours, yeah.
But a day?
Yeah, I think phones in themselves aren't a huge problem because you can do productive things, like you can read news on phones and you can talk to people. I think for the international students like Sophia, I'm sure she rings her mum or parents every week, and that counts as screen time. But I think the most damaging thing is social media. And yeah, it's hard to enforce.
So it's not what they are, it's how we use them.
Yeah, it's how we use them. But okay. I think people do waste their time.
June?
I just had kind of a point on the idea of whether it's a good idea or not to ban social media in the UK and the Isle of Man for under-16s.
Yeah.
I think since a lot of teenagers or young children have become really dependent on things like social media. For instance, I use Snapchat, which is a social media platform, as probably my main way to communicate with my friends when I'm not with them. My family, I'll use things more like WhatsApp, but I don't think some would consider that as social media as much. So I think maybe a better solution rather than completely banning social media would be placing more restrictions and putting more responsibility on people who are adults putting out content on social media, who are feeding the young children this content, maybe more responsibility on them to make people aware of what is real, what is fake, what and what to look out for on social media.
Which brings me to AI. Oops. And exactly the other day when Grok was going to be banned, wasn't it? When Elon Musk's AI tool, Grok. What do you think of the use of AI in social media?
I think it's a really good advancement in technology that can be used in really good ways. I just think it is abused by a lot of people to do things such as, like, in academic situations.
Do you ever use AI for your homework?
I don't use it to do my homework for me as much. I might use it for things such as, like, structuring of long writing and stuff like that. But I also had another point on AI, which I think people are using it to make these artificial generated images and videos, which I think is a large issue, and it can become really dangerous, especially to young people. And so I think there should be more awareness on that. And you can see on things such as TikTok, they've started to do that. They've started to label content as AI generated. So I think that's also really important to raise awareness about the dangers of AI.
Clea?
I was just going to talk about the use of AI in social media more for the fact that it's been detrimental to, like, people, like artists or creativity, as people are really, like June said, abusing it, and they're using it to generate these images and then they're posting them all over social media. And artists who have already been producing these pictures and they've been posting them across social media for long before AI has become popular, it's taking away from, I would say, their work, because now when you see something that might look like their art, you're questioning, oh, is this AI? Oh, this is AI. Let me not support it, because there is a huge movement online to boycott AI, you know. Many people don't agree with it. So now artists aren't getting the recognition they deserve when it comes to artwork that may look like AI, you know?
The people behind AI will tell us all that AI is the future and AI is going to be doing everything in the future.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
You know what? No, I don't agree, because there are certain things that, you know, you need the human touch to it. It can't just all be done by artificial intelligence. Like, let's say you go to the doctor. Do you want an AI, like, or artificial intelligence diagnosing your ailments? No, I would want a human who's researched this over and over to diagnose me. But I would say certain jobs are definitely at risk for being taken over by AI, and I think that is a big issue.
Have you ever used AI for your homework?
For research, yes. Have I ever actually submitted something that was, like, made by AI? No, because I just don't agree with that.
June?
It was kind of another point back on relating AI to social media. I think an existing issue on social media that has been for a while is the exposure of children and their exposure to inappropriate content. I think AI feeds into this, especially with this kind of arising issue of things called, I think they're called deepfakes. And I think it just can be really, really damaging for these young people who are exposed to them and who are maybe think it's okay to make these kind of things, because it can really ruin someone's life.
Well,
now
we're getting to it, because obviously AI and certainly social media, and particularly a problem for young women, and that's sexualization and pornography.
Yeah.
How can you stop that? How can you limit that?
Well, I think I saw somewhere on the news some pornography, like, I don't know what you call them, sites, have been, I think you have to provide ID now or something, a picture of your ID to be able to access them, which I think is really good, because I think there's a really big issue of people abusing those things and it being normalized. Sorry, what else did you ask?
The risk to young women. I mean, there's a risk to young women anyway in social media with body shaming and the way that that happens nowadays. But I just wonder how the authorities or people in general, how you can mitigate that risk.
Well, yeah, it creates a really, really dangerous kind of ideology around women. It gives young women images of other women that they feel they need to look like, they feel they need to match that. And then there's also people, because social media gives you kind of protection. You can say lots of things and have nothing done by it, and that can become really dangerous for young women. And another issue is that I think it's really, really difficult to almost police that. And yeah.
Well, you're relying on people's good nature.
Yeah.
So what happens to the people who are bad natured?
I think maybe social media platforms could have a more, because you can obviously report people and all of this, but I think they should have a more kind of straight cut approach to it, that if you're caught saying body shaming, or if you're caught spreading certain content that creates this kind of unrealistic ideology around, well, the main issue, young women,
Yeah. You
should just be banned and not be able to gain another account, which I don't know how you would do, but I think that's probably the only way that you could.
Okay, Mila?
Yeah, so what I think the scary part is that we can't really restrict it. That's what June is trying to say. We're trying to come up here with an idea. How could we prevent this? And that's the scary thing, especially with AI. We really can't. As a girl, now if you look at how much progress, for example, deepfakes have made in the last couple of years, 5 years ago, you probably could easily tell apart a deepfake from a real photo. Right now, especially with Elon Musk's AI Grok, what it's been producing, you cannot really tell it apart anymore. So any picture a young girl posts of herself, it doesn't have to be suggestive, it doesn't have to have any sort of connotation whatsoever, it can just be a normal picture of her and her friends having fun at a party, can literally be used against you. And I think that's why AI and social media in the future is so dangerous, and why probably AI will have to be restricted largely by government in the next couple of years, because it will get out of hand and it will inflict on people's lives in such a bad manner that we will suffer from it, like especially as young girls.
And will that be pressure from governments, or do you think the big corporations will have to do it themselves?
The big corporations that kind of lead social media, they've been forced before to, for example, by the EU to kind of impose stricter guidelines or whatever. But I feel like as long as the government does not put a clear ban on it, for example, like Australia has done it, and actually thinks that through before, so it has to be a really thought through program that will probably take us years to develop, I don't think there will be anything happening, because if we're being honest, the corporations that provide social media are mostly in it for an economic gain, and they're not going to be willing to give that up just because young girls are being targeted.
You are what, 17 years of age?
Almost 16.
Okay.
So I'm 16.
You're 16
20.
Going on 17. Okay.
Yeah.
So this will be, you're the first generation to go through this. And this will be your problem for the rest of your life. Do you think it'll be, are you confident that this problem will be sorted out?
Right now, I'm not confident. I'm trying to look at it, obviously, with a positive mindset. But right now, it's, I think, looking really grim for young girls out here, especially on social media and in general with world politics and whatnot. So I'm trying to remain positive, but I think that our generation of young girls will probably have a lot of like after effects of this era of communication that we have to suffer through, that other generations may never have to experience.
Okay. I want to go to... yes, Dave.
Just to add to that, I think the solution to this problem could be public accountability. I don't think banning is the solution. I think we should give everybody access to these tools, and if they choose to not to use them inappropriately, which will harm any other individual, the public should have access to their information, their public information, their name, and I think that way we'd see a lot less. We see a lot less posting from individuals who don't mean it in a good way, as they'd be publicly held accountable for what they say.
Well, obviously, social media, like AI, is a tool. A knife is a tool, and a knife can be used for good and for ill. So I'll just ask you the same question. Do you think your generation will sort this problem out? Because it will be your generation that will do it.
I think we'll be forced to find a solution. Whether we do or whether we don't, I'm not sure, but I hope we do find a solution, because as you said, it's a dangerous tool, but it's a good tool as well.
Tell me, Niamh, do you trust politicians?
politicians by nature say things for public reaction. So whenever a politician tells you something, you should always take that with a pinch of salt.
Would you ever consider a career in politics?
Yes.
You thought about that, Niamh?
I think it's a very important job, and you need to be good at your job to do it. But I also think by being a politician, you also have to face loads of public scrutiny, which can be very damaging to your mental health.
Well, somebody has to be the politician, and you talked about, you know, bad actors. If we don't have the good actors, then we'll get bad actors. So politics in the future, it's going to be different, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be different. And I think if something isn't done on social media or in general with public accountability, I think we will find, especially on social media, that people will keep coming with far left or far right views because nobody is held accountable, and these social media firms aren't held accountable for the content that they're pushing or the people are producing.
Okay, and what's your view of Vladimir Putin?
I think Vladimir Putin is an individual who should be trialed, firstly, for the things he's done in Ukraine. I also think Vladimir Putin, as an individual, is one, as I said, like President Trump, a very strong leader. And I think he should be held accountable for his actions in Ukraine and his actions against people who have opposed his rule in Russia and have tried to combat his rule in Russia.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where we go with Vladimir Putin, because the aggression in Ukraine has been on there for quite a while. Can you see any end to that?
I think, especially now with Donald Trump's control over Venezuela, it cuts another key ally to Russia. It leaves Russia even more isolated than it already was beforehand with the thousands of sanctions placed against it by Westernly nations. So I think Russia now especially is in a very vulnerable position. I mean, they're, despite being such a huge military power, they're expansion into Ukraine during the invasion has been not as effective as everybody thought it would be, and that's due to Western support and the sanctions. So I think with increased pressure, I think they could be forced into a deal.
Charlie?
Yeah, I think that the West needs to be careful about Vladimir Putin. He is a dictator, and he has, well, we believe he's rigged elections. I think Trump especially, he needs to unite NATO rather than tearing it apart. Because the Greenland thing, it's not... So in Venezuela, when he's sort of expanded there, that's similar to a thing that the British used to do called gunboat diplomacy, which is meant to be moral, so you're giving reasons. He's using the war on drugs and the dictator there to say, this is a moral decision to go into Venezuela, even though it is benefiting him personally with oil. With Greenland, what he's doing, there is no reason other than what he wants, which is the rich natural resources. And he doesn't take into consideration the people of Greenland who have lived there for 300 years, and Denmark and the whole of NATO. And that's really dangerous when it comes to Putin, because it gives Putin the excuse to say Ukraine is fair game for us. We aren't doing anything wrong. You're doing the exact same thing in Ukraine. And it also, the problem with the Greenland thing, it means that it's not just America versus, or America and NATO versus Russia and China. It's America versus NATO versus China. And it causes the whole world to turn against each other, which is a big problem.
Have you ever thought about becoming a politician, Charlie?
This break time in school, actually, my friend was just asking me that. Yeah, we were having a conversation.
And?
I don't know. I would like to help people. I think that would be a really good thing to do with your life. But like Neve says, it's a demanding career. But if you can do good things for people and for the world, you should... Well, that's all anyone can do, isn't it? It would be a nice thing to do, help people, yeah.
All right, we'll leave it there. I'm going to be back in a few moments' time with the students of King William's College.
Pain, neck pain, scoliosis, headaches, joint pain. At Align for Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 16 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're open after work and Saturdays, making it even easier to see us. Visit alignforlife.com or find us on Facebook for more information. Align for Life, 16 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
They've got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM.
On time and on budget,
DPM.
We'll beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 612000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
This is the Man in Line on Location.
Faster Mai, good afternoon. Thanks for being with Manx Radio. June, can you tell me who the Chief Minister is?
Alf Cannon.
Right, okay. How many other Manx politicians do you know?
I can name you four more.
Who's that?
Michelle Haywood.
Yep.
Who just stepped down, or I think as she stated, was sacked as the infrastructure minister. I think she was replaced by Tim Cruckle, who's been in office three times before, as this is third time. I can name you Alex Allinson, who just stepped down as Treasury Minister. And I can name you Chris Thomas, who has taken his place.
And you're not related or friends with any of those?
Nope.
Okay. You're going to be able to vote in a Manx election in September. Did you know that?
Yes.
You're going to be able to vote. Have you registered to vote?
No.
Okay. Do you know much about Manx politics at all?
Not a huge amount. I'm not hugely interested in politics.
In general?
In general. Big kind of controversial people such as Trump and stuff I'll have a read about, mostly because I dislike a lot of these leaders.
Whereabouts do you live in the Isle of Man?
Douglas.
In Douglas, right. It's all right, because on the East Coast, they're talking about putting 85,000-foot wind turbines on the East Coast for renewable energy for the Isle of Man, or putting wind turbines in the South.
Yeah.
There's some debate about that. Where do you stand on wind turbines?
I think it's a very windy island, and I think we should utilise that, because I think it's a really good opportunity to make the island more self-renewable. And I understand, obviously, the aesthetic issues with it, and people who live by don't want loud turbines near, but I think it's a really good opportunity, and I think we should use it.
Okay. Let me go to Emilian. Germany's got a lot of wind turbines, hasn't it?
Yes, they do.
I mean, they're everywhere, aren't they?
If you drive over the Autobahn,
on the left, on the right day, like you can, like you can never not see one.
And that was that because of the Green Party in Germany?
So forgot which year it was, but they shut down all the nuclear power stations in Germany
after Chernobyl, didn't they?
Can't tell you the time, sorry, but yeah. Around that time, I think, they shut down all the nuclear power stations. They needed alternate for that, so that were the wind turbines. I don't think they are a bad option. Also, the solar panels, there's also lots of them near the autobahn as well, because like you can't really build near the autobahn, so it's like all farmland and like just free space where you can like you can just use it. And, yeah.
Are they? I mean, is the appearance of the wind turbines, are they controversial at all in Germany, or do people just accept them?
I think people just accept them. They're not near any like city really, mainly like small towns maybe, but and I don't think they're really loud. Like I've never lived near one, I can't really like, I don't really have an opinion on that, but yeah.
Let me go to it's Miller. Hello, Miller.
Yeah. So about the wind turbines, there is some controversy, same as here on the island,
right,
for aesthetic purposes, noise pollution, especially since they were being built quite close to smaller towns. I come from quite a windy area, so we've got loads.
Whereabouts is that?
So I'm from Wolfsburg, which is...
The Volkswagen place.
Yeah, the Volkswagen place,
yeah,
exactly.
The big chimneys.
So we've got loads of wind turbines, and the further north you go, obviously, the closer you come to the sea, the more wind turbines you have. We had luck that during the 2010s, we had, even though we had a conservative government, they were really quite pushing towards green energy. And for example, the last nuclear power plant was shut down during that time. We see kind of a recession of that now. So a lot of incentives for solar power, wind power is now being cut again. So we'll see how that develops.
And they're digging coal in Germany.
Oh, yeah, they still do. We dig coal. But obviously, we know that long term, that can't be a solution.
Let's go back to the marine biology. And what's your particular interest in marine biology?
So I'm very, very interested in especially orcas. So dolphins, even though I like dolphins in general, orcas as dolphins, because orcas are dolphins.
They're not whales.
Not whales. Kind of are my special interest, one could say. I just find it interesting the way they live in cultures. They are pretty, they show some signs that are pretty similar to humans, and I just find it super interesting. And I think we can learn so much from marine mammals in general, whales and dolphins alike. Because we are quite similar to them, and we have to admit that, and we have to use that to learn more about us, maybe. By
we've got an
them.
Organization on the Isle of Man called Beach Buddies, who clean the beaches and have done for years and years and years. And it's amazing the amount of plastic that's washed up on our shores. We don't generate it. It comes from here, there, and everywhere. But worldwide, we're polluting the oceans.
We are, and it's terrible, and it's gonna really affect us long term, because just because we can't see it, because we are not in the ocean. The ocean is still the most vital ecosystem we have here on Earth. If the ocean collapses, we are done as inhibitors of land, because the ocean, as a carbon sink, as it has so much biodiversity, and because we don't know much about it, we also don't know how much we're affecting it by fiddling with it. And every time I hear about pushing more plastics into the ocean, lifting regulations on fishing, mining, deep sea mining, I get so aggravated, because we don't know enough to do this without knowing the full consequences. And that's just, I would say, if a student would make a decision without thinking about the consequences, everybody would call them immature. Everybody could call me immature. But if a politician does it, it's called, oh, we're just thinking about the economics, but you're not thinking long term, because protection is that what we need long term.
And the fact that microplastics, nanoplastics are now in the ocean and in the food chain is going to affect everyone on Earth.
Oh, it's already affected us. There's already been studies. Well, we already found microplastics in small traces in brains, like human brain. So we know that it goes directly in our body, and we know that microplastics are not good for us. So we don't know if it might cause cancer, if it actually impacts our brain capacity to an extent. There's been studies on this that suggest that it could. So we are not profiting from this in any sort of way. And some people
people are framing it that us using the ocean does, but it doesn't.
So who is standing up for nature?
Many organizations, non-profits, everybody can. Just when you pick up, when you go to the beach, I go and beach walk. Sometimes I find trash on the beach. I pick it up, I put it up on, in the bin. That's already helping. So right now, a lot of governments are not. And what we see is a lot of non-profit work. Yeah, and that has to change. We have to have more like actual political incentive to help the...
Unfortunately, many governments are self-serving, so they are going to worry about rather what's best for my country over what is this going to do long term. And that is why it's so difficult to fix all of these environmental issues. So the oceans, they are sinks, and so they do absorb lots of the carbon in our atmosphere. So you might think, yes, I can just put as much carbon as the ocean is going to absorb, but that's just not true, because that then destroys coral reefs and the food chains, and everything is so interconnected. So a destroyed food chain is going to destroy an ecosystem, which is then just going to have a chain effect and positive feedback loops, such as the glaciers. The melting glaciers are reducing that albedo, which then causes them to melt more. So you need to stop it with and think long term over with short term, what's going to benefit me now.
So the crunch is coming.
The crunch is coming. It's happening. The world will eventually get to a tipping point, and that is what scientists are saying, especially even the COPs. So there was recently a COP, and even though in Paris 2015 it was looking very positive, it's just not the countries. It's very difficult for the countries to hold themselves to it, because who is actually like saying, okay, well, you've gone over, so you must adhere to this punishment. The country is not going to punish itself. So it's
Okay, Sophia.
Yeah, what I wanted to say, and what Mila said about people helping on their own and picking up trash whenever they can. Obviously, it's important that us as individuals take care of the planet and do as much as we can to try and clean up after ourselves and not produce any waste. However, with the rising of companies such as Temu and fast fashion, the companies like Shein, Zara, Bershka, anything that goes along that line, like even in their production, these are the main people who are producing the actual waste, because of how much waste is actually produced while creating something that will be only used for a very limited period of time.
Okay. We've been live at King William's College today. We've been talking to Neve's been on, and Charlie and Emilian and Sofa and Miller and Eris and June and Cleo. I wonder how much you've taken out of today. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Matty Cunningham. Thanks to Howard Kane. Thanks to Lauren. And thanks to everybody at King William's College for helping today. And Chris operating the panel today. I've been Andy Wint, and we've been live at King William's College today.
WINT.